Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
He's back. Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg joins us again this morning for the show. Dave, it's good to talk to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg. Good to be back. It seems like a long time since our last show.
It has. It's only been a month, but it does seem that way. And you are no pressure, but it's a dark and dreary Monday morning, and you are now responsible for bringing us some sunshine.
We're in trouble this morning, Ted. Right before the show, Ted and I were talking. It's sort of a gloomy morning. It's early Monday morning. It's definitely a good morning to sleep in, but sometimes that is not possible.
That is not possible or in the cards. So we go. Lots to talk about with you. Looking forward to a number of these topics that we're going to go through. But first of all, it's been a bit since we have talked. What's new with you and Tex in the Berg these days?
Well, gosh, been swamped lately. We're finishing up two large projects with two big businesses around Fredericksburg. One, we've moved all the phone systems over to voice over IP, moved all the data up to the cloud. And so now they're virtually totally digital, and moved another company to fiber with a state-of-the-art firewall, and just got a big server. And over the weekend, we got to start setting up for another client, and everything just keeps going.
It does. When you talk about when moving over to all digital, that's a big, in some cases, that's a big decision for businesses, both large and small. But boy, I would think in today's environment, you almost have to be looking at, not if we're going to do it, but when we're going to do it.
But when we're going to do it, eventually, most companies are going to be in the cloud in one form or another, and some type of voice over IP phone system. It just makes sense. It's so flexible. The costs are similar, or sometimes even less than the regular plain old telephone system that we've all been used to. And it's some businesses, though, it's really tough. One of the businesses we were dealing with had like 15 years of data. And to move that, a lot of it had to be scanned. A lot of it was already on computers. A lot of it was on paper. That has to be digitized, scanned, and then pushed up to the cloud. And when you're talking, tens and tens of thousands of files, that's a big job.
Boy, even in today's, even with all the technology, I would assume that there still is a very repetitive, mundane type of thing to do that.
It is. It is very repetitive, very time consuming to take tens of thousands of pages and scan them in, and then organize them and push them up to the cloud. That is a very, very labor-intensive, time-consuming process.
I guess with a lot of businesses, is it just the cost, and also just the having to train everybody to when you make the change over to digital? That's why a lot of businesses don't do it initially.
Well, that's part of it. One of the big parts of it is just change. People get they're used to their daily routines. They get, everyone has their own comfortable ruts or whatever they're in. And to break free and make that change is sometimes a scary thing, because a lot of businesses, they know, a lot of workers know how to use a computer, but some of the newer technology, OneDrive, voice over IP, et cetera, it's a little different, a little new for them, and sometimes it can be a little scary. But once they get into it, once they've used it for a few weeks, it becomes second nature, and they're like, wow, this isn't that hard to learn, and I wish I'd done it earlier.
Hmm. I have seen pictures both on your website and on your Facebook page when you talk about, you know, when you build some of these servers and things. They are big in some cases. It looks like it's some pretty complex work at times.
It can be as virtually as simplistic or as complex as you want to make it. There are some technicians that I am one of them that like to do it as simply as possible that will do the job. There are some that want it as complex as they possibly can make it and still have it work, which I don't agree with that. I think it's a little crazy. But, yeah, servers can be big, heavy, expensive things. They can have a far-reaching price points, anywhere from just under $1,000 for a decent, small, little server to tens of thousands of dollars for a big server. And companies that I've worked with over the past 20 or 30 years in their IT departments, we've had servers costing well over $250,000 each. Mm. And even those servers at that price point, even they can fail. And so no matter how much you spend, you're not immune from breakdowns and service outages.
I was just going to ask you about that, because I guess servers are, you know, because we talk often about laptops and just your home PC, and they get old and need replacing. I would guess it's the same thing with a server.
Absolutely. All a server is a computer. It's just a more beefy computer. More heavy duty, so to speak, and powerful than the PC, but it is nothing more than a computer.
Are there warning signs if it's like a computer, that there are the warning signs when things start happening that, you know, we better make sure that we're ready, or we may need a new server?
Yes, or need some maintenance. One thing is, with RAID, it's a drive configuration. There's different RAID levels, redundant array of inexpensive disks. And one of the most popular ones is called RAID 5. And that you have several disks, and a little bit of the data on each disk is also shared with other disks. So if one disk fails, the other disks continue to work. And that data that's missing from the failed disk is made up for in parity by the other disks. And the server can tell you one of the hard drives has just failed. The RAID array is still working, but you need to fix this. And so that's one of the fallbacks or fail safes on servers that it can notify you. Okay, a hard drive's failed. The array is still working, but you need to replace this hard drive fast.
Hmm. How long do servers last?
Oh, gosh, that's a wide-ranging thing, too. Generally, 4 to 6 years. They can last a lot longer than that, and they can last a lot shorter than that. And it's just like a computer. They break down, but generally 4 to 6 years, 8 to 10 years, some of the more beefy, better ones. And a lot depends on how they're maintained also.
Yeah. It's, I guess, maintaining. How do you maintain a server?
Like I said, some of the things on the server will tell you when there's a problem,
okay,
whether it's a hard drive or whatever, and you've got to fix it. Other than that, the defragging, the backups, routine maintenance, making sure the fans and heat sinks are clean of dust, things of that nature.
Okay. You live in my head, Dave, because this weekend I had I was working with my laptop out on my deck. It's an enclosed deck. Usually I'll bring it inside at night, but I thought I'll get it the next day. Well, I went out the next day when I got home, and it was one of those hot days, and it was just blazing hot back there, and out on the deck, and I just thought Dave would not approve of this. He would say you do not want to leave your computer, whether it's too hot or too cold, in those kind of conditions. I'm thinking I should probably keep it in a more stabilized temperature situation.
Absolutely. If it's in the shade outside and it's 85 or 90 degrees and it's in the shade, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
If it's in direct sunshine, that can be a different thing. That can really heat up. And what's really, really bad for them is if they're left in an enclosed car with the windows up. And, you know, 120, 130, 140 degree temperatures, that is starting to get dangerous for laptops.
That's interesting. Don't leave. I mean, there's a number of reasons why you shouldn't leave it in the car. But especially once we get into summer now with the heat, that is a great reason.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just like with pets or little kids.
Yeah.
Laptops, they're very sensitive, and this type of temperature in the enclosed cars can definitely do them harm.
TexandTheBerg.com is the website. Dave the Computer Guy with us this morning on News Talk 1230 WFA. When we come back, we're going to talk about virus protection and how to protect and speeding up old PCs. We'll get into that, too. Lots to talk about. More with Dave the Computer Guy on News Talk 1230 WFA. We'll be right back.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chubin.
Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg here this morning. Tex in the Berg on Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg, 1025 Caroline Street. TexintheBerg.com is the website. Lots of good stuff to talk about this morning. So, Dave, here is the question. I have an old PC. It's going kind of slow. Is there any way to speed it up?
Yes, and actually we just did it for a law firm this past week. They had an older PC. They didn't want to get rid of it. It cost a lot of money back in the day. And so I'm like, okay, we can double the memory for not a whole lot of money and put a solid-state drive in it for not a whole lot of money, and that made a world of difference. It had 8 gigs of memory. But with Windows 10 and a bunch of programs open, it was getting close to being maxed out. There was like 7.5 gigs being used constantly. Upping it to 16 gigs of memory really freed it up. And then putting a solid-state drive in it, between the memory and the solid-state drive, that thing is really, really fast now.
But it sounds like, really, with just some minimal effort, you can turn around an old computer and make it really not only serviceable, but right up to speed.
Oh, absolutely. Depending on the condition of the computer, if there's nothing else going on with it, if the memory, I mean, if everything is in pretty good condition, otherwise, yeah, these few things, increasing the memory, putting a solid state drive in it. Also, removing temp files with something like CCleaner and removing spyware and things of that nature can really help a computer. If you have an old, tired computer that physically is in okay shape, increasing the memory, put a solid-state drive in it, give it a good tune-up, and it would be like a new computer.
Well, you introduced me to the whole concept of a solid-state drive in the fall, and now both my laptops have solid-state drives. Wow, the speed in which how it operates is just terrific.
They basically pay for themselves, Ted, in the increased productivity and the decrease in frustration that people have with the lag time of opening a program with a conventional mechanical hard drive,
mm-hmm.
and the time it takes a computer to boot up. These upgrades actually will pay for themselves in almost every business.
I was telling you off air that with when I used to would power up my laptop, it would be 3 to 5 minutes routinely to power up. Now it's less than a minute. I mean, more often like 30 seconds.
Yes, and once they boot up, depending on a few factors, you can be on the internet almost instantly and browsing the internet. They're that fast. Whereas the conventional drive, it just sits there and methodically, you know, boots up in its own time. And the solid state drives, years ago, they were very, very expensive. They come down in price a lot to a point where they're accessible to most people. And it makes a big difference.
I never even considered it when I remember when we talked about it, and that's, you told me that same thing, because my thought was, yeah, you can, you know, they're fast, but you also pay for it. But that has really changed.
Yep, that's one of the better things in life is that some things, cars, everything are just through the roof, the prices. But PCs have been getting faster and less expensive and smaller. And it's one of the better things that technology has done.
But speaking of technology, I mean, you go and you walk around, whether it's a computer store or just anything with high tech, you just have to continue to be amazed at what's being made, the speed of it, and just the size of it compared to what it was in the day when it was all first coming out, when you and I were first acquainted with it.
When I think back about the old, I used to have, oh gosh, this was probably Motorola flip phone, and it worked. It worked just fine for, you know, making and receiving calls. But compare that to the new smartphones of today, the iPhone and the Android phones. Mm-hmm. These things are small little computers you can do anything on, open, you know, Word and Excel documents, get your email, you know, browse Facebook, do anything on them just like a regular computer.
I just got an Apple Watch. It's just, to me, it's just, I mean, I'm just like a little kid just because I can't believe it can do the things it can do.
It can, you know, oxygen sensors and heartbeat sensors and all kinds of built-in things. These high-tech gadgets are doing everything these days.
It is the Dave the Computer Guy with Tex and the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It seems like it's a common thing, but we have to keep talking about it because so many people try to go through life on their computer without virus protection, and these days that's a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea. And in the second half of the show, we're gonna switch from virus protection to ransomware and being hijacked. But it's a good segue into that because it all starts with virus protection, and most ransomware attacks are caused by viruses to start. But we see so many businesses and personal users, they either purchased antivirus software, then they let it expire and never think twice about it, or they don't have any. And if they don't have any, Windows 10 has a stock Windows Defender built into it, which is okay. It's not the greatest. But there's a lot of good free antivirus software for personal residential users, and a lot of great paid antivirus for business users out there. And you've really, really got to do that. You've got to have good antivirus. It's getting too serious out there, especially if you do any type of online banking or stock trading or you're at work. Everything's in jeopardy if you get hijacked or if you get a virus, and it's becoming very serious.
Boy, it is, and it's the kind of thing you can't afford to be without it because it can change your whole life.
Absolutely. We've had so many residential customers get a pop-up, and they'll download something through an attachment, an email, click on it without thinking about it. It opens up, next thing you know, a virus has got them. Their stuff is locked down. They're getting a message, you need to call this phone number to get your data back. And a lot of people give them credit card information over the phone. We've had dozens of people do that. Sometimes we're able to get the money back from the credit cards, the debit cards. Sometimes we can't, and they're out that money. But it's really tough, and it happens in a split second.
Boy, and it doesn't matter who you are or how careful you are, it can happen.
Yes. Yep. We've had everybody from street sweepers to scientists. Mm-hmm. Get caught in these traps. It doesn't matter who you are in life. You can be busy not thinking about what, you know, you're clicking on for a split second, boom, it happens, and it's done, and you can't go back.
And it's so hard, and a lot of times now I've sort of taken the approach of if I can't figure out if what I'm looking at is really true or not, I'll just assume it's not, and and I'll move on, because so many things and so many of these offers or so many of these things you get look like they're the real thing, and they're not, and that's oftentimes what gets you.
And we have a lot of companies that'll send us an email that they're not too sure if it's real, and they'll send it to us, and we look at it, we're like, no, look at the address on here. This says it wants you to reset your Amazon password, but look where the link leads you to. Look at the address. It has nothing to do with Amazon or eBay or whatever. And these things are phony, and they want your information, your login information. Then when you put that in, they've got your account, and they just go and do what they want.
Boy, and I know you've talked about, I mean, it can be expensive and costly, and in your case, time consuming sometimes to be able to open this up.
It can emotionally devastate people when all of a sudden, just in one fell swoop, their bank accounts have been compromised, credit cards, their whole life is virtually put on hold, trying to get everything under control just because of one little click of a mouse.
And you have talked about the situations. There are some times where you just have to wipe the computer clean and say, we're going to have to start over.
Depending on if they were let onto the computer and what was done to the computer, yes. Sometimes it's easier just to wipe the computer out and redo it from scratch. They can put stuff on it that's hidden, that's very, very hard to detect. And rather than go through that routine of trying to find it and remove it, it's sometimes quicker and cheaper just to redo things.
Mm. Well, you always say it's the Wild West out there. And
it is absolutely the new Wild West,
yeah.
The internet.
And you got to treat it like that. But also check out, there are a number of, like you said at the start of this, there are a number of virus protections out there. And some of the free ones, I know you've talked in the past, are just as good as the ones you pay for.
They're very good, some of the free ones, Avast, AVG, et cetera. And not only using the antivirus software, but you just being using some common sense safe browsing procedures, so to speak. If you get an email that you're not expecting, be very, very cautious with it. Don't just open it up. If someone sends you an attachment, mm-hmm. Don't just open it up. You need to scan it, and you need to find out if it's valid. That is how most viruses are transmitted, and you just got to be very, very careful.
Well, you mentioned it. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happens when your computer is hijacked and held for ransom. We saw that on a national level a little bit ago, and we'll get into that when we come back. Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg on Caroline Street here this morning. TexintheBerg.com is the website. There's also a great Facebook page that can keep you up to date on all kinds of things and let you know what they offer at Tex in the Berg. TexintheBerg.com, the website. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schuman.
Dave the Computer Guy with us this morning from Tex in the Berg. TexintheBerg.com is the website. Dave, we have talked about this subject before, but boy, it sure became real. The whole idea of having your computer hijacked, and we saw it in a big-time way when we had the gas lines here a few weeks ago.
Yep, that pipeline hijacking, that was, oh gosh, that was something to send everyone scrambling to the gas pumps and for a few days, it was a little dicey trying to find gas anywhere.
Oh, it was just terrible. Now, and a lot of us, I have experienced this a few years ago, of where all of a sudden you click on your computer and there it is. It's a ransom note basically on the screen of your computer, and there's nothing you can do.
it's a tough situation. There are some common sense preventative sort of maintenance things that can be done preemptively to help prevent this. There's no way to 100% prevent it unless you just cut your connection to the internet, whether you're a residential user or a large business. But some of the ways to help prevent this is, like we were just talking in the last segment, to have a good antivirus on your computer and that's up to date.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to have your operating systems, your programs, browsers, et cetera, all patched and up to date constantly. And one good thing that a lot of network engineers have been doing for the past couple decades is you create an admin account on the computer that has full control over everything.
Yeah.
But then create also a limited or restricted account. Log out of the admin account, use your restricted account for your daily activities, what you're doing on the computer. And if something happens, it's much less likely it's going to destroy everything. Because if you click on something that you shouldn't, you're not going to have the ability to run it without admin privileges. And so that can help as far as preventing the opening and spreading of these ransomware attack viruses. And just be careful of what you do open.
Boy, yeah, that's the bottom line. It's a terrible feeling to have that up on your screen.
And a lot of these companies, especially some of the service companies, they're absolutely essential to this country and to other countries. They're just woefully unprepared for this. They have inadequate firewalls, inadequate backups. No procedures or protocols in place to mitigate these circumstances. And if they had proper firewalls, proper procedures as far as the use and maintenance of the computers, and their backups were up to date, plus there's always a backup unconnected from the network, a current backup that's not connected to the internet or the network, where if this happens, they have a recourse. They have a point where they can recover from. If they don't, then you're seeing them pay $5 million in ransom.
And that's what was really scary about this, to have a business like Colonial Pipeline and just the importance of what they do, and to have it breached like that made me think that there's got to be others that are in a similar situation.
There's many businesses and service industry sectors of business that are just, like I said, woefully unprepared for this. And the amount that it costs the economy and it costs this business, you know, they shelled out $5 million for the ransom. Plus, it's hard to say how much money they lost beyond that. In the day-to-day activities for the week or week and a half or whatever, they were down. That money, it would have cost a fraction of that money to put in proper firewalls and procedures and backups so this something like this couldn't happen. So they tried to save money. It ended up costing them dearly.
Mm. And I guess, you know, their price tag was $5 million. It's obviously on just an individual or business isn't going to be that much, but it usually still is some pretty substantial money, and the money you don't want to have to pay.
Yeah, and sometimes money the business simply doesn't have, and if they don't have money to properly maintain their networks, if they get hijacked and are held for ransom, they almost certainly aren't going to have the money to be able to alleviate that situation. But to do proper backups, to have a good firewall, it doesn't cost that much. It just has to be done. And when it's not done, when they're like, well, we'll do it some other time, that's when you get burned.
Mm. Yeah, no, and you mentioned the backups. That I was going to say that really is the one way you can alleviate all this if you've got up to date backups.
Yes, and they have to be disconnected from the network and the internet. If you have backups, they're on the server or on the cloud, but they're attached and logged into. They still can be vulnerable, especially if you have an external hard drive on the server.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's your only backup. And you get hit with a ransomware attack. They can find that. The software can find that backup and encrypt it. And you need something off that network that's been scanned and is virus-free as a backup. Then you can if something happens to you, you can go, okay, I can recover from this. I don't need to pay the ransom. I can be back up in a day or a day and a half or whatever would be their time to recover from. But at least they could and not pay the millions of dollars.
I'm guessing you've dealt with these ransom situations before with some of your clients?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've had people call us and say, you know, we're a business or I'm a residential user. My files have been encrypted. They want this. And I'm like, okay, we need to look at this. We need to look at your backups and to see what we can do. Sometimes it's recoverable. Sometimes it's not. But it all depends on if the proper procedures are put into place beforehand. If not, then you're going to be very vulnerable to this.
Dave, the computer guy, texting the Berg here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Dave, talk about mesh Wi-Fi for large homes and businesses. What's that all about?
Okay, the Wi-Fi has changed so much over the past 5 or 10 years. It's just gotten so much better. And recently we did a mesh Wi-Fi at a local company that was really, really tough to deal with. They have concrete or reinforced concrete walls and dividing some rooms. Some rooms were concrete masonry units, or as I like to call them, they're just cinder block walls. And those are easier to get through, but the concrete is really, really tough for Wi-Fi signals to get through.
Yeah.
But with the new mesh systems, you basically have a router. Then you have little satellite modules or nodes that are placed throughout the house or the business, and they're attached to the router wirelessly, and it just makes a big seamless network with the same network name and password.
Okay.
And it can extend the network throughout the house or business much easier than the old-fashioned ways of getting a router and an extender and having multiple network names and all this mess. And the power of these things, this system we used this past week at this one business, it was amazing to me that it went through this concrete wall and the strength of the signal. And that helped them immensely in their business. And a few years ago, something like this wasn't possible.
No, I was just going to say this. To me, this sounds like one of these kind of game changer kind of things, because I just know in my own house.
For large homes, if someone has, you know, a relatively large home, a 5,000 or 10,000 square foot home, it used to be next to impossible to Wi-Fi the whole place, where every part of the house it has a strong, fast Wi-Fi signal.
Right.
These mesh Wi-Fi systems now can do that. And they're not that expensive. They can be expensive. They range from a couple, maybe $200 on up to $500 to $700, depending on how many modules or nodes that you want to put throughout the house. But very, very powerful. And it is a game changer as far as Wi-Fi-ing every corner of a very large home or business.
Wow, because, I mean, I don't have that big a home, but I still do have the problem with at certain ends of the house, if the router and everything is downstairs in another room, and I've had to move it many times just to try to be able to get coverage in the house. And when you are talking some of those bigger houses, when you're talking about businesses, it's a real concern.
It is. And everything today is Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of businesses are still hardwired, and some homes are, you know, have some rooms hardwired. Very few have every room hardwired. So if you want to move around in your house with your cell phone on the Wi-Fi or a laptop, you've got to have the whole area covered with Wi-Fi. And these mesh Wi-Fi units can do it. And they're just so much better than 5 or 10 years ago. It is a game changer.
Wow. Technology is a wonderful thing.
It can be. It can be a double-edged sword, though, like with with a ransomware attacks, et cetera. But and the, on the plus side, it can be a really good thing as far as these mesh units.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the same. We all talk about it, about how great technology is, and then you run into those days when you know you can't get your laptop to power up, or you've whether it's a ransomware situation, when it doesn't work, we've just become so enslaved to it. It's sometimes tough to get around things.
Let me turn off my cell phone.
You are a busy person. Like I said, when technology doesn't always work, it can be frustrating.
Yes.
Right there. There's an example.
With voice over IP phones and the internet. And
Exhibit A right here without even planning it. I make that. I pose that scenario and it happens. That was a great moment there, Dave.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to turn off my cell phone before I got on the radio show.
Dave the Computer Guy, Texting the Berg here this morning. TextingTheBerg.com is the website. A couple more things to talk about this morning, and then we will wrap it up. We'll be right back. I'll let you take care of those things in the next couple of minutes, Dave, and we will return on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good friend Dave the Computer Guy here this morning from Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg at 1025 Caroline Street. TexintheBerg.com is the website, or you can call 371-2874 to talk to the good folks at Tex in the Berg. Before we get a couple other real quick things to talk to you about, Dave, but I want to give you a chance to thank the community, because once again, Tex in the Berg, a winner with Best of the Berg.
Yes, Ted, and thank you so much, Fredericksburg, all the residential and business customers that have voted for us and supported us over the years. The Freelance Star released the results of the competition on Friday, and we were lucky enough to win Best Internet Technology Service Provider. That's sort of a mouthful. But we've won that now 3 years in a row, and it's quite the honor. Feel very fortunate, very lucky. We've been able to, as Ted and I were talking there in the break, be consistent and win it year after year. That is a big feather in our cap, and we really appreciate all the our loyal customers and their support over the years.
Well, you and your team just do a great job, and to be able to continue and maneuver around in these COVID days. It has been a challenge the past year.
This past year has been a challenge for everybody, not just us, but I mean, I don't have to tell all the businesses and people in Fredericksburg how difficult this has been for everybody. Everybody knows it. It's been an awful last year, 12 months. Hopefully things are loosening up now. We've all been vaccinated here. We're loosening some of the protocols and the rules that we have. Hopefully over the next few months, things will start to get back to normal. I just wanted to give a heartfelt thanks to everyone that voted for us. A lot of family and friends I know did, and a lot of businesses. Every business that we support was adamant that we win, and they pushed us over the line.
Yeah, no, it's a great honor, and congratulations, and well deserved, Dave.
Oh, thank you so much, Ted, and thank you again, Fredericksburg.
Before we get out of here, we hear so much about 5G. Should we always want 5G?
Actually, that's something I wanted to talk about. I got a question in the past week or two about this from a residential customer that they have a new Wi-Fi system. It has a 2.4 and 5 and a 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi signal. What should they use? And it's a real good question. Pretty much, it's going to be determined by how close, by a few different factors. One is how close you are to your router. if you're fairly close to your router, less than 100 foot or so, 5G can make a good alternative to the 2.4 gigahertz. It's going to be faster. It's going to have less congestion. The only time you really should use the 2.4 is if you're not near your router. If you're 150, 200 foot away or something, the 2.4 gigahertz signal will travel farther. And so that's going to be a much better alternative if you're far away. But it has some downfalls, too. It's congested. The channels are congested. If you have a lot of homes or apartments around where you are with a lot of Wi-Fi signals, they can be overlapping and there can be a lot of congestion. But if at all possible, in most circumstances, the 5G is going to be the best, the fastest, and less Wi-Fi interference and congestion.
Okay, good stuff there. Good stuff. Well, Dave, we have covered a lot of ground this morning. And again, if anyone has questions and wants to find out more, I guess the best way, I guess, start out at the website, see all that you offer at techsintheburg.com.
Yeah, shoot us an email or give us a call.
The number 371-2874. You're on 1025 Caroline Street. Glad to hear that things are beginning to open up, and you don't have to be quite as careful, and that you have survived the pandemic. Congratulations!
We've survived so far. Hopefully, the next few months, everything will get back to normal, and everyone will get their life back.
TexInTheBurg.com, where you can find out more. The good folks at TexInTheBurg in downtown Fredericksburg. Dave, until next month, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ted, and thank you so much, Fredericksburg.
That's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and we will see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.